You're tuned into the audio channel from scorenotes.com. Enjoy the show.
Okay, well, Ali, thank you so much for sitting down with us tonight. How's everything going with you?
Great. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to talk to you.
Feelings mutual. And I'd like to kick off the conversation with your most recent score, Season of the Witch.
Right.
And what are the ways in which you incorporated the various genre elements into your score for it? There was a lot of different themes at work. How were you able to fuse that into your score?
Well, the different genre elements, let's see. I mean, we used quite a bit of vocals. You know, a lot of music at the time obviously was vocal, you know, like sort of Gregorian chants and that kind of thing, which was actually one of the last things that I added. I suppose I should give you a little bit of background about this score. You know, you could sort of say that I've scored the film three times, or at least we've had three separate sort of periods of you know, writing and you know, culminating with a scoring session or two. And the first time, you know, was about a year and a half ago, I think. I want to say it was in August 2009. And at that point, you know, there was a sort of a, the direction with the film at that point was to try to make it sort of kind of modern sounding and very current. And, you know, then there was sort of a change of heart for the producers and the studio, and they decided to go on a bit more of a, I suppose, kind of a horror route. So they shot a new prologue and some new scenes, and we added some new music, and so we tried to make the music a little bit more scary at that point. And then the last sort of, I guess you could say, artistic direction that was thrown into the pot was the last one, you know, which I did a couple of months ago, at which point, you know, a new, sort of a new direction was incorporated, which was the idea to make the movie a little bit more fun and actually a little bit more kind of authentic, which leads me back to your original question, which is regarding the sort of genre and perhaps period elements. You know, that's when we added some of the more kind of chant-like choir passages, male choirs, and maybe went a little bit more major key, so to speak. You know, the idea to make the movie a little bit more fun and add some lighter moments and stuff like that came in quite late. But I'd say, I mean, overall, it's quite a sort of a sprawling score in the sense that, you know, having sort of gone through that whole journey that I described, you know, we stopped far and wide, and, you know, there's some electric guitars from the first direction, and then it got into more sort of a horror kind of scoring, and then, you know, now I ended up, honestly, with more sort of a traditional kind of action score during the last period of refinement. So, long answer to a short question, but I hope it shed some light on what you're asking me about.
Indeed. I mean, that's very quite an interesting journey that you took there. And, you know, number one, the score is outstanding with lots of epic moments and some of the more intimate moments as well that came through quite nicely.
Thank you.
Do you think those iterations, that the process that you went through, helped you with that, arriving at that end product?
Oh, no doubt. Excuse me. The score, the way it was originally done, was less melodic. It was a darker movie back then. You know, I mean, I think the music simply, the changes in the score has simply reflected the change in the film. And, you know, there's been a lot of chefs in the kitchen. So, you know, lots of different voices and ideas to try to sort of reconcile. And, I think the final product is absolutely the sort of the culmination of all of these journeys, all of these roads we went down, and all the voices in the room at any given time. But in the end, I feel that I honestly ended up with something that was closer to what I wanted to do in the very beginning, which is more of a melodic, traditional, epic action score rather than sort of a guitar-driven modern score. I feel like making the movie more fun helped it, you know, ultimately, and the score reflects that as well. And, you know, I think having big sort of epic melodies and that kind of thing, I think, for me, it made the movie better. It made the movie better and made the score better.
And how difficult is it to manage the variety of opinions and input that you'll receive on a project like this in order to convey the direction you think the music should go in? Is it kind of a little bit of a dicey challenge to try to communicate that to the producers and such?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the hardest part of this job after getting the gig is to sort of navigate these waters. I mean, each project is so incredibly different, and, you know, some films, there's a strong artistic vision from a singular voice, which is sort of what you hope for, because, you know, it's so much easier to please one person than 10. But increasingly, I'd say, there's more and more people involved and more ideas and opinions in the room. And, you know, it is quite it's quite a challenge. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I think a big part of the job description, or I guess I should say, or the skill set that a film composer has to have, is to be a people person. You know, is to be somebody who can listen to and work with others, and, you know, without giving up all sense of artistic direction and ideas, be able to work with people and accommodate them, and somehow, you know, merge everybody's input into something cohesive.
That's a wonderful point, because I've found with the composers I've spoken to over the years, they're that film's biggest supporter. I mean, a composer is someone you want in your corner, because they will definitely put out the best foot forward on behalf of a project. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's interesting. I think most composers I know sort of, you know, typically would love to get involved earlier in the process. And I hope that there's a movement in that direction, because the earlier we can be involved, the better we can help make it a better film. I mean, I think, you know, the more the score is integrated as a part of the movie and not some sort of a separate alien identity that's then thrown onto it at the very end, the better for everyone. And, you know, I think that you hope to build that kind of relationship with the people that you're working with, that they feel like you're on their team and helping, you know, to make it a better film.
Yeah, and a quick question on that. I mean, do you think that's a result of the rush to get a movie out, that composers are brought in later in the game than earlier?
No, I don't. I think it's an error in thinking, for lack of better terms. If you talk to a typical director, or, you know, they might be able to do most of the jobs that happen on the set. You know, they might be able to act and light and direct and operate the camera, etc., etc. You know, the music is sort of that one area of voodoo that they don't quite understand, most of them. And I think sometimes they're either a bit scared of it, or just something that they don't think of as a sort of integral part of the film, which, you know, obviously I and most of my colleagues, I think, would strongly disagree with. So, I don't know, I think it's, you know, I wonder if it's a matter of education. I mean, you know, one of my mentors, Hans Zimmer, has been incredibly successful in changing that. And, for example, when he works with Chris Nolan, he gets on board very, very early on, and I think it's obviously paying great dividends, because their work together is amazing. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's my mission to you know, with people that I work with and hopefully work with again, that when I do work with them again, I can sort of, you know, propagate the idea that it's in their benefit that I come on earlier.
Yeah, truly excellent points. It's great to hear that, because if that were me, I'd want to get the composer thinking about the project as soon as possible to absorb the story and see where it might go musically. So, great points.
Absolutely. And possibly even influence the story or influence some performances.
Absolutely. Because a lot of times the music could pick up a weak movie, or it could really enhance a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And how pleased are you with the outcome of the actual soundtrack release for this film? Because it has a great flow to it, I thought, from beginning to end, actually.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very happy with the soundtrack release. I'd say the biggest challenge was to, you know, having established what we talked about earlier, which is sort of these three phases of making this film in different directions that we went in, the big challenge was to maintain a flow and maintain cohesion, I guess is the word, in the score. And, you know, I feel that, I don't know, I'm sort of relieved that I feel that I was able to do that. And, you know, I mean, the funny thing is that at the end of the day, let's see, I recorded over 110 minutes of music for this film. So obviously there's a lot of stuff to pick from for the soundtrack, which is kind of a luxury. And, you know, I mean, I think that's a part of the reason why it's pretty good, is that, you know, there was a lot of material to choose from and you know, sort of an embarrassment of riches there.
Yeah, I'll always honor a score that's streamlined for a soundtrack release, because, as you know, there's a big following of film music fans out there who really appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, it's very funny. When I did my first soundtrack release was Vantage Point. And when it came out, I got all these comments about, you know, people being disappointed that there wasn't more music on the CD. So the next time I did one was Babylon AD, and I put a lot of music, and lo and behold, the criticism was, there's way too much music on there, and it's not streamlined enough. So I've been trying to strike the right balance there, and I feel like, you know, both of those two releases were sort of my big education and hopefully how to do this, because I feel like, you know, I feel like there's a balance there, you know. I mean, if you only pick your best pieces, then you might end up with, you know, a shorter CD. But, I mean, I'll tell you my sort of, I'll spill the beans. You know, what I do is I put what I think is the strongest stuff at the beginning, and then maybe the last, you know, 10 minutes or something are pieces that I think are good, you know, maybe not the strongest stuff, but some people, you know, some fans or some, you know, people are into film music might like to own these. So that's kind of how I've tried to strike a balance between the two sort of philosophies.
I think you zeroed in on it quite nicely with this album. And speaking of Babylon AD, would just love to get a couple quick comments from you about that score, because I thought it was quite evocative, and I thought the movie itself was underrated.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was underrated. I mean, I think it certainly had some problems, but I don't think it was nearly as bad as people thought it was.
No. I think the ending kind of betrayed it, but that wasn't really the director's fault, it seemed like, so.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the first sort of, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes of the film are really good.
Oh, absolutely. And absolutely.
It does get a little way late at the end, and, you know, as you know, there's two versions of the film, but it was a wonderful experience to work on that film.
And what is your comment on the score that you were able to create for that? Because, again, it hit home with me, and I thought it was really well done and quite distinctive with your voice behind it.
What was really unique about that process was the freedom that I got from the director. He, you know, he's based in Paris, and I'm based in Los Angeles. And, you know, he came for a meeting, we spotted the film, I played him some themes, and you know, then he said, you know, I'll be back in a month and a half, and I said, well, I'll send you stuff every day. He's like, no, I don't want to hear stuff every day. I'll be back in a month and a half. You write the score. That's why I hired you.
Nice.
It was the opposite of, you know, what we just discussed about Season of the Witch in a way, which is kind of a committee of people constantly giving comments, which I'm not putting down in any way. Honestly, you know, they're both valid approaches, but working with Mathieu was really great in the sense that I had a lot of freedom just to write music, and then when it came to sort of applying the music to the picture, you know, that was sort of more in his hands. But as a result, in my opinion, I wrote the best thing that I've written so far, which is Aurora's theme. You know, I hope to better that soon. But so far, it's kind of my favorite piece that I've written. And I feel like it was just, you know, this is all of these things tend to be sort of based on chemistry and personality and who you work with, etc. And somehow, you know, the vibe and the chemistry that was created on that film allowed me to write stuff that is very, very personal to me. I mean, I grew up with a lot of choral music, and, you know, I grew up sort of playing a lot in church and that kind of thing, and I think that comes through, and I think the tone of it in a funny way is quite Scandinavian, you know, and obviously I'm from Iceland, so which is a part of Scandinavia, culturally at least. So, you know, I think it was a very personal score for me, probably because I was left to my own devices.
And I was actually going to bring up the choral aspects of your music, because that's, you know, as I became introduced to your work, that's one of the things that first stood out to me, is just the excellent command you have over the choral aspects of a score.
So, well, honestly, the funny part about that is that I hadn't written any choral music until I think it might have been I did some work on Pirates of the Caribbean 3, and that's kind of when I started writing choral music, and Babylon AD really was kind of the platform to kind of go crazy with it. And you know, I didn't sing in choir as a kid, but my mother, you know, sang the church choir in my hometown, and I went to countless rehearsals with her after school, and so I just feels like it's kind of just in my genes somehow, and it's just something that I really, really enjoy doing. And I think it's one of those things that obviously your skills get enhanced by studying, but I think just having been a little kid listening to choral music, that is more influential in the long run than any education, really.
And what I particularly appreciate is that so often you hear choral music that just bangs you upside your head with just these broad, loud choirs, but yours is pretty distinct and sophisticated, and it doesn't take that generic form that a lot of choral music might fall into. So just want to compliment you on that.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I have to give big credit to my sister as well, actually, because she is my soloist of choice, and excuse me, for example, in the Aurora theme, there's a three-part, the melody, the main melody with the female vocal is a three-part harmony, and she actually sang all three parts. So there are, you know, and she's just has a beautiful voice, and just, I don't know, we just, you know, obviously we're siblings and we grew up in the same environment, so the aesthetics are the same, and it's very easy for us to work together, but you know, she definitely flatters my writing with her talent.
That's awesome. Quite a talented family you have there.
Thanks.
And looking ahead, have you been working on the upcoming film, what was formerly known as The Eagle of the Ninth, now known as The Eagle? Is that an upcoming project of yours?
Yeah, it is. It's coming out in less than a month, or is it actually, yeah, it's about a month out, February 11th, I want to say. And that was another sort of total departure. That movie, you know, it's basically about Roman soldiers in England and Scotland in the year 140 AD. So the director on that is a wonderful filmmaker, Kevin MacDonald, and actually. So there's just kind of this innate drive in him to find something pure and real. And I mean, obviously, it's a bit of a challenge to figure out what was true and real, you know, in the year 140. But I went to Scotland and I recorded with local musicians and with some Irish musicians in London, and that score sort of took a shape more or less by going there and working with, you know, musicians who have dedicated their life to Scottish and Gaelic and Celtic music, and just kind of, you know, and that became the inspiration for the score.
Well, I can tell you, I'm definitely enthused about the prospects of it. It sounds terrific. Some great on-site resources, as it were. Will there be a soundtrack release for that as well?
I'm definitely hoping there. There is intent and desire to do it, and there's negotiations going on, and hopefully it'll come out. I have a strong feeling that it will.
Terrific. We'll all be staying tuned to that. And you know, at this point, I would just like to thank you for again joining us tonight. Quite an interesting and enjoyable conversation. So thank you so much.
No, thank you. It was a pleasure.